I just wanted to keep on worshiping. I don't know about you. I was ready to keep going with that song the whole rest of the time. I don't know how many of you like listening to country music. I grew up on it. You know, some people love it, some people hate it. One of my favorite songs, though, is a song by Johnny Cash. I like most of his stuff. A song called A Boy Named Sue. It's not only a song, but a lot of times during that song, he's talking and just sharing the story about a boy named Sue. It's a musical ballad about a young boy who had the misfortune of being named Sue by his dad. And he, during the ballad, he shares the story of the tribulations of having such a name growing up. The fights, the brawls, the teasing, just a horrible time. And during the ballad, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to find my dad. When I do, I'm going to let him know what it felt like for me to grow up as a boy named Sue. Well, he looks through the bars and the haunts of the town, and he finally sees his dad one day in one of the corner bars, and he goes up to him and faces him, and he says in a big, loud voice, "My name is Sue. How do you do?" It was probably a fateful day his dad was thinking about for a long time. Huge brawl broke out between father and son. Just a really, really bad fight. And at the end, they have a degree of a reconciliation. And at the very end of the tune, Johnny Cash says, "If I ever have a boy, I'm going to name him Bob or Bill or John, but anything but Sue." And you know, a name is a powerful thing, isn't it? It's a powerful thing. Because it identifies us. Not only identifies us to ourselves and to our family, but it identifies us to everybody else. In fact, if you look at the Old Testament lesson that was read today, you'll notice the name Abram. And that name in the Hebrew actually means the Father is exalted. Now, as Abram follows God and his call and is obedient to him and they grow in relationship to one another, then God speaks another word to Abram, and that is that he will be the father of many nations. And he gives him a new name. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of multitudes. Anybody want to guess what Sarah's name means, Abraham's wife? It means princess. Princess. Perfect name. And so we see in the Old Testament, in Abraham and in Sarah, and in all of the names, that everybody's name is not only important, but it communicates who and what they're going to do in a very special way. And the same is true about the name of God. A few weeks ago, I was sharing with you about the Ten Commandments and began that, and I want to spend some time reflecting with you on one of those commandments today, and that is, you shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And actually, the name of God during the time of Israel was very revered and held very sacred. Actually, it's rendered Yahweh, which literally means the one who is ever present. If you look at the Hebrew root of the word, H-W-H, it communicates the idea of independence and underived existence, which is simply to say that God always has been. God was never created. He has always existed from the beginning of time, even before time. And in ancient Israel, the very name of God was considered so holy that they never even wrote out the whole name. They only wrote the consonants, Y-H-W-H, never wrote the vowels. And it was interesting, I was talking to one of our parishioners last night who for a period of years worked in a more conservative Jewish daycare. And in their religious instruction, when they wrote the name God, they would write G under slash D. They wouldn't even write the whole name. So that continues to this day. That continues to this day. Whenever anyone would make a pledge or a covenant in the name of God, it was honored, it was kept, it was a sacred duty. And no one would ever, ever think of using God's name in vain or with a curse word, or in any kind of vulgarity, because in that time, if they did, their life would literally be in danger. The name of God was honored and revered. because as one spoke the name of God, it wasn't only just saying God's name, but it was invoking the presence and the holiness and the sacredness and the reverence of God himself. As we look at the New Testament, and as Jesus comes on the scene, we find in him a revelation of the Father. He says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." But we also have a very interesting teaching from Jesus about the nature of the Father. And what we are finding is that in Jesus' ministry, he says, "I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And we find in Jesus, if you will, a deepening teaching of what the commandments and the law and the prophets really mean. So in the name of God, what does Jesus say? Well, when his disciples come to him and they ask him, "Master, will you teach us to pray?" He begins to teach them to pray with the Our Father, which is very interesting. Here's this group of disciples, mainly a Jewish group, who have grown up not even writing out the full name of God. And Jesus is teaching them when they pray to say, "Our Father." This is revolutionary. What Jesus is saying to them is when you come to God, my God and your God, you're supposed to come to him like a child comes to their father. That's why he says, when you pray, say, "Our Father." Because that's who the Almighty is in relationship to you. He is your Father. "Our Father who art in heaven." So Jesus makes it very clear that as we pray to our Father as a child, that our Father is in heaven, a spiritual being far above anyone or anything, the pre-existent one, and we are here on earth. We're to come to him with a spirit of humility. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There it is again, that sense of reverence, that sense of worship, that sense of awe before Almighty God. Jesus affirms that. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus teaches us as children of the Father who is in heaven to come before him with a sense of reverence and worship and to surrender him, to surrender to him all of our lives and to surrender the earth as well to his will. You see, part of our ministry, beloved of God, as his children, is to be speaking forth and birthing the will of the Father on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is teaching to his disciples about the Father is powerful. It's revolutionary for them. And he brings them into a whole new intimacy with God that they have never had before. And then he goes deeper. A little bit later on, Jesus also introduces the disciples and us to an even more deeper and intimate relationship with his Father when he begins to use the word Abba in relationship to Father. Now, Abba in the vernacular of the day would have been Papa or Daddy. This word in the New Testament is used three times. It's used once in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is praying. When Jesus says, "Father, if you can, let this cup pass from my lips. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine." In one of the most dramatic, struggling, painful last nights on earth for Jesus, the last night he will be on earth, he is wrenched to his heart. It is torturous for him. He doesn't want to drink the cup that his Father is giving him. And in this prayer, when he begins to cry out to his Father, he's crying out, "Daddy." He's crying out, "Papa." He's getting closer. He's saying, "You know what, Daddy, if there's any way you can cut me a break on this, you know? Come on, Dad. You and I have been there, man. You know what it's like. If whatever you got to do to get your deal, you're going to do it, right? You got to snuggle up a little bit closer." That's what you do. And that's what Jesus did. The other two times that it's used in the New Testament, this word Abba for Papa or Daddy, is when the believer is crying out in their spirit to God. Crying out not from a spirit of fear, but a spirit of being their son or daughter. Crying out in the spirit that we belong to Abba, to our Papa and our Daddy. And so what you find in the New Testament in these three instances where Abba is used is in the spirit of a person who is in travail. A person who, in the depth of their heart and in the depth of their mind and in the depth of their spirit and their emotions and their passions, is crying out to God, God, if you can find a way, let this pass from me. God, if you can find a way, open this door. God, Daddy, if there is some way you can do this for me as your child, I would be most grateful. That's the spirit in which Abba is used. I don't know about you, but this is great encouragement to me. Now, I haven't gotten everything from God yet that I want. I don't know that I will. I'm kind of guessing I'm not going to get all of it. Because on some level, maybe it's just not for me to have. But I still haven't completely given up yet. Any more than you have. But one of the things that Abba is teaching me is to come to him with all of my heart. To pour it out to him. To cry out to him as my Abba, because he is. And to trust him with the answer. To rejoice in the words of affirmation and miracle and healing and grace. And to suffer with him in the words of brokenness and struggle and sacrifice. They both go together. But one of the things that you and I need to hear is that this is the relationship that Jesus teaches about our relationship with God, with the Father. Now, I just want to say to some of you here today, this may be a difficult teaching. For so long, God has been somebody who is way up there. God is to be respected. God is to be revered. God is the Almighty. And I would affirm all of that. I believe that very deeply. Jesus would affirm that as well. But you might be saying to yourself, Father Joe, I've never heard this before. Calling God my daddy? Come on. Calling God my papa? That's a little bit too familiar for me. That's a little bit too intimate for me. I mean, we're talking about the Almighty here. What are you doing teaching something like this? Well, what I'm doing is sharing with you, actually, the teaching of Jesus. I'm sharing with you the teaching of our Lord. And what our Lord is inviting us into is something far greater than not using his Father's name in vain. It's part of that. But it's an invitation into really having a more intimate relationship with our Abba, our Papa, and our Daddy. That's what Jesus desires for us very deeply and very powerfully. And so I want to invite you along with me here today to be open to a different relationship with the Almighty. I want to invite you along with me to not only have a relationship with him that is not only careful about not using God's name in vain or associating his name with any vulgarity. Yes, that's a part of it. But I want to invite you to press more deeply into Jesus' teaching about our relationship with the Father and with Abba. And begin to be honest about the relationship that you really have with your Father. Is it like that? Is it close? Is it intimate? Do you pour your heart out to him? Or is it more about distance and familiarity and that God who's way up there? We have an Abba who cares very deeply about us. And if you've ever cared about anybody, if you have ever been a father or a mother who has cared about their child, and your heart has hurt for them, and your heart has been broken for them, I believe that heartbreak that we've all felt is only a taste of the heartbreak that our Abba's heart feels for us. Same kind of love. Even more deeper, more powerful, more pure. Abba cares deeply for us. There was a man who was dying, and he called for his priest. The man was struggling with facing death, and he felt like the Almighty was a million miles away. felt like his prayers were hitting the roof and falling down. He felt like his religion was a waste. And he felt all alone, if you will, in this cocoon of death that he was facing. The priest shared with him that the Almighty was also his Abba. And he gave him a challenging word. He set a chair right by his bedside that was empty. And he invited the man to imagine that his father, his Abba, his heavenly Abba, was sitting right there in that chair. And whatever he was struggling with, whatever his worries were, whatever his memories were, whatever his pain was, to just share them with his Abba in that chair because his heavenly Father was right there caring for him. He had a brief prayer, and the priest went on his way. The priest was called a few weeks later and was informed that the man was near death and to come. And so he did. And when he arrived in his room, he found the man over by where the chair was. He had crawled out of his bed, and his head was lying on the chair itself. He had put his head into the lap of his Abba as his heavenly Papa welcomed him into glory. He had died that way. But how beautiful, how healing. It's the way it should be. Coming to Abba in your moment of need and pouring your heart out to him and resting your head in his lap. That's what our Abba is inviting us into. Do you want that today? Do you desire that?